Welcome to Circulus, a homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign. I am your host and DM for the evening. They call me Crash. Damn it, Crash. And with me are a collection of adventurers and ne'er-do-well, including Chris. Chris, who are you playing this evening?
I am playing Vexaron Silvor, the half-elf ranger.
We also have Tom. Tom, who are you playing?
Tom's walking his dog.
He is playing responsible pet owner this evening.
Mm-hmm. And but he will be playing Pankaram Dikorf, gnome barbarian.
There we go. We also have Jen. Jen, who are you playing?
I'm playing Meepo Chipclaw, and she is a kobold sorcerer.
And we also have Matt. Matt, who are you playing?
I am playing Aristobulus Ravenscroft, human wizard.
And Eric would be playing Obame, the dwarf cleric, but he is enjoying a UFC tournament with his lovely wife. So he does not wish he could be here because he's having a lot more fun.
Yep.
We'll have to tell him that his character died this episode.
We do that every week.
Well, not every week. He got back right at the end last time, so we already knew that his character hadn't died. Logan will also be joining us shortly-ish. He's just going to be a little bit late, but he'll be playing Fenix, a dragonborn paladin, and or narcissist, and or destroyer of wagons. All of those things, pretty much. All right, so in our last episode, and if you have not watched the last episode, cover your ears because spoilers, Fred was a dragon. Also, yep. Snape kills Dumbledore, but never mind about that. And the cake was a lie.
The cake was always a lie.
And the birds were chirping, which is great because we've got some ambience here. I don't have to pay extra for that. It just comes naturally. That's awesome.
Well, then I won't mute them, so.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm totally okay with birds in the background, to be honest.
Yeah, they are happy adorable. Little cockatiels. Yeah, there's five of them, and not all of them sing. Two of them sing pretty regularly, so I think we're hearing two. And when one starts, the rest tend to jump in. So they're singing medleys over there. So we have a musical episode once more.
And I'm using headsets, so I don't have to worry about my cat hearing bird sounds coming from the computer because he has attacked the screen more than once already.
Oh.
Yeah.
Your cat is violent.
He is, but he's also, he's very easily spooked. He has attacked light switches in my home and turned on hallway lights. But then suddenly the lights are on and that scares him, so he runs and hides under the bed.
Aww.
I know.
Such a strange little kitty.
That's the cutest thing.
It's adorable. And I'm so glad that I've watched him do this more than once, because there have been times where I've come home and just seen that the lights were on in the apartment, and I would kind of get freaked out if I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so backtracking just a little bit. So like I said, Fred was a dragon. There was a bit of shock and surprise and combat. You did not manage to recover the focus. A dragonborn spellcaster of some kind beat you to it, tried to teleport away, and for some strange reason, Ari decided that she shouldn't be allowed to.
She had her focus.
Yes, and so she ended up leaving anyway, but leaving because an enraged red dragon went full bore through the space that she was occupying.
That tends to be fatal.
It was fatal for the dragon. But she
I didn't say for whom.
She managed to disentangle herself from the wreckage and escaped with focus in hand. The party was, however, able to make it back to Coombridge safely using a messenger beetle created by the gnomish inventor, Fiddlepunch. Not with their reward, but with a decent amount of, shall we say, consolation prizes. Now we're at a very tough point in the adventure because it's time for Ari to go home.
No.
I know. So he's going to pack up some dirty laundry to take home. He's planning on raiding the fridge once he gets there, I'm sure.
After that red dragon, yeah, I need to change some shorts.
Lovely.
Oh, I did not want that image in my brain. But in-game, Ari has some additional spells that he now has the funds to transcribe into his spell book. And if I remember correctly, we were talking about this during the week. It's going to take, rounding up, about 6 days to do that. So the party has a bit of downtime before we head out again. So let's go down the list, because this is kind of important. What's Vex doing?
Vex is fixing his bow. Vex is very much so fixing his bow. And he's dumping a spell slot into it as well and working with that. So that's what he's going to be doing for the next little bit. When he's not doing that, he's going to be going on endeavors with Ponk to try and sort some stuff out, because he ain't going to go and deal with Ari's tyrant of a mother, because he will end up killing her.
Yeah, that conversation has also been had.
Yes.
Is Tom back yet?
I am here.
Yes.
All right, awesome. So while we're on the subject, what is Ponk doing in Coombridge?
Ponk is probably going to save his money, actually. He really wants to get a farm. He wants to get a spot, a little place of their own, shall we say. So he is probably sulking about, checking places out, and enjoying some downtime.
Okay, so he wants a farm, some place where, you know, he might be able to grow some crops, pet some sheep, run a gambling business on the side.
Exactly. A place for shepherds to run around and be happy.
Yeah, just be away from the man, you know.
And purchase and sell unusual goods.
Yeah. You know, he's even thinking about a wagon repair shop.
I do believe there's a market for that. Oddly enough.
He is a mechanic by trade, so.
There has been rumors of a certain dragonborn-like creature just breaking wagons everywhere.
Exactly. I know. So. And canonically, the reason why he has a giant can opener, and the giant monkey wrench, which he has dubbed the can opener, is because he was using it to fix wagons.
Exactly. And he wanted to get spare parts from said wagon in episode 0, I believe.
Yes, episode 0. It did have two good axles before Fenix rolled really well.
Exactly. So, yeah, so that's what he's going to be up to.
Okay. What's Meepo doing?
Meepo wants to go play with her friend Ellie so they can do sorcerer stuff.
All right. You go on an adventure.
Yay.
And the adventure becomes more exciting when you realize that the magical lights that are set up around Coombridge, in the keep itself, but also in the town of Coombridge Keep, you can cast prestidigitation on those, and then they shoot out rainbows.
Oh, fun.
And a good time is had until Ellie's dad, the Lord Idris, catches you and gives you a very stern talking to about why we don't do that. However, give me an insight check.
Okay. Roll a 20. Got a 16.
That's plenty good enough.
Okay, sure.
Even without adding a modifier to it, the entire time he is lecturing you, he is trying very hard not to laugh out loud.
Well, I'm sure we could find something else to prestidigitate.
And I'm sure there are plenty of other adventures that, for the sake of brevity, we're not going into detail, but you two are really enjoying yourselves.
I have a sorcerer friend. Yay!
You do. Sorcerer sisters.
Ta-da. Yes.
Okay, and I will ask Logan what Fenix does later once he has joined us. Obame hangs out with his fellow dwarves, and we'll worry about that later. Oh, I see a Logan in Discord.
Yes, you do.
Are you ready for your pop quiz?
Sure.
Okay. If I have three wagons, and you spend... Never mind. There's got to be a math question.
Dang it.
Okay, so it's about 6 days, give or take, before everyone who is accompanying Ari to his mom's place in Adrolanka heads out. What do you do in Coombridge during those 6 days?
Plan on finding your granny special, I guess. No, I won't pray.
Okay, so you spend that time in religious devotion. You realize that your congregation will seek you out, and they do. They are in need of guidance and possible assistance in creating the abbey/monastery that they want to make.
With a nice wagon stained glass as the church symbol.
However you direct them, they're willing to go with it, but they are very short on funds and manpower, or dragon power, as it were.
Don't worry, after 5 sessions, I'll give them a small amount of 1 million gold.
Okay. Good luck with that. Okay, but you spend your time praying and helping out your congregation. All right. So the 6 days have come and gone. Ari's ready to go. We do have a bit of a problem because it sounds like Ponk isn't really interested in heading out. He wants to buy the farm, but not in the way that Americans talk about buying farms. And Vex is working on fixing a bow that's going to take more than 6 days to fix. So it sounds like you two aren't coming along.
No, Ponk is going to stay behind. It's probably better he stays away from Ari's family.
Yeah, and
Saint Levex.
Yeah, and from what I've heard,
like to stay away from his family.
this is also true. That is also true. And from what I've heard, nothing bad ever happens from splitting the party.
No, never.
And actually, with Vex staying behind, you might actually be able to procure a third set of horses.
Oh, I'm sure we can get horses.
Yes, but the set of horses we hopefully will not lose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're recognizing Vex at this point as the guy who was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, we'll take good care of these horses this time, really." And then you lost them again.
Yeah, I've given up on the idea of having horses because we're always going to lose them.
Yeah, we need to get like some magical thing or something. That can just...
exactly we need a flying carpet
trying to work on. Yeah.
Wondrous figurines that turn into steeds.
Yeah. We need a broom.
Brooms of flying.
Oh, dex checks for everybody.
Yeah.
Followed by
dex
saves.
And that is when I will tinker things to make that not be a thing.
You have a small amount of bookkeeping to at least before we head out. Ari would need to sell the books in order to get all the spells he wanted.
Okay.
So I don't know how much I would be able to sell those dozen or so books for. If he's unable to sell them, will he buy them?
Oh, well, you've seen their libraries. They are avid collectors of books. And some of the books that you have are incredibly rare, as in they're the only copies on Circulus.
Excellent.
Because they were written by people who've never been to Circulus.
Exactly. And I'm not giving them the book that's about the sword cost.
I don't care about that one. As far as I'm concerned, the books that I've already grabbed out of the Dragon's Library are sufficient. It boils down to that I need a few extra coin to get all the spells he wanted, and I just need to figure out exactly how much they're willing to pay him for them, or if they're willing to trade value for spells to be scribed.
In a lump sum, the books that you show them, they're willing to pay 2,500 gold for those books.
Buy us a farm!
Okay, well, here's the thing is I didn't need that much, so that might be possible.
Yay!
Because Aris does have a small fortune of his own, not that much. All right, so let me see. Let me do some quick maths.
It might get to the point where Aris is the only nobleman that Vex actually likes.
I thought I impressed him when I picked the lock.
There is a possibility that they might resell some of these books for a higher price.
That's okay with Ari, because I'm sure he'll trade them with other knowledge or sages, you know, in and around the world.
Punk can steal them back.
Well, Punk, you find...
And then we just keep selling them.
Punk, in your portable hole, you find that Ari missed a book.
Uh-oh.
There is one book in there. It's called Varia.
Six.
It appears to be a collection of poems. You're not sure how much it's worth.
It's probably not worth much. In here, written by some mortal.
McNeely. You can't read it very well.
Yeah.
All right, one sec.
I think it's even less than 100 pages. So.
All right. This actually works very well then. All right. So if Ari had, with the 2,500 he got from Lord Idris, along with his own personal funds, minus the spells he wishes to scribe before leaving, that will leave 2,443 available just from his personal funds. Ari is willing to loan you guys that $2,000, less any, it'll leave him with 443 to try to travel with. Do you guys have any of your own funds?
I have 600 gold on me.
Okay.
Yeah, I was willing to kick in like 400. So,
all right. So
we'll discuss the interest rates later.
Yeah, if Ari kicks in 1,500 of the 2,000 y'all need.
And then we do 250 each.
Right. That should be enough for you guys.
Yep.
That will then still leave him 943 back in his own personal budget.
Okay.
Mr. DM, I think we just bought a farm.
Congratulations, you're the proud owners of a farm.
Yay!
And two metal employees.
Yay!
That are really good at guarding. Well, reasonably good at guarding. Well, okay, you've never seen them successfully guard anything because you kicked their butts the first time you met them.
We did quite hard.
Yes.
But we're adventurers, and we're now on the edges of a town. Hopefully, we won't get too many other adventurers.
Let's put it this way. If there's another goblin raid, they could easily handle the goblins.
But I want to be notified if a shaman shows up.
Yes.
She is mine.
We both want to be notified if a goblin shaman shows up.
All right. Well, we'll work out the details for maintenance costs and fees for employees at a later time.
Okay.
I'm otherwise now ready to head back, leave, to go back home. The deal is Lord Idris is amenable to a trade agreement with his flowers in exchange essentially for, whatever Coomeridge needs that the Raven's crops, they need, want actual cash. Okay, yeah, I thought they were looking for goods.
Goods are good too. They can get that with cash.
Okay. They're flush with cash. No, I'm sorry, they need cash, right?
Yeah, yes, they just gave you a ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
But they're going to recoup those losses by reselling a lot of those books.
Right.
They collect a whole bunch.
Around the world.
They have contacts they'd be able to get some decent prices for those.
Okay. That works for me. That said, so our deal with the trade agreement we are going to work out with Lord Idris is he will sell us the magical flowers, and then my family will then work with them to distribute those around areas of Circulus.
Pretty much.
Okay. I just want to make sure because I lost my notes on what that was all about. That's why I was originally sent here. Although given what we discovered when he got here, I'm beginning to wonder if Mom didn't send me here for other purposes. that I would come home.
Well, my understanding is your initial thought when she sent you off on this mission was that you were going to be out of her way for a significant amount of time.
And I was for a better part of a year, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Okay. So then with 943 gold, who is now joining Ari on the trip back to Adrolanka?
Can I go? I want to meet your people.
I would go as well because there'd be more wagon followers.
That may be true.
I'm going to stay out. I have a feeling that your mother and I won't see eye to eye.
Well, here's the thing is none of you are human, so she's automatically going to hate all of you.
Yeah, so there's probably going to be an arrow with her name on it if I go. So I'll stay here and work on the farm.
Okay.
And help set that up.
That's fine with me.
As he's making arrows and repairing his bow, Vex just casually asks, sorry, oh, by the way, what's your mom's name again?
You like to know?
While I'm describing some details onto this arrow.
While I'm just sorting out some arrows, what's her name?
Mom.
Mom, yeah, no.
Mom.
That witch.
And then you pull out an arrow later and say, oh, wait, this is the wrong one. It says, wow.
It says, hey, no.
I'm only supposed to use that in a blizzard.
Let's be honest, Vex is that dumb.
All right, so Meepo wants to go, and Fenix wishes to go.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
He will try to warn you as much as possible about Adrolanka along the way. It is a town full of thieves and cutthroats, and keep an eye on your purse. Hopefully we won't need to go into town at all. My family's estates are essentially on the outskirts, if you will. But hopefully we'll avoid it if we can. That's all he'll say.
Obame is also accompanying you. He says something about if he doesn't, one or all of you is going to end up being a small red puddle on the ground.
He's having visions.
Or everyone I see is going to turn into crisp.
No, just knows us very well.
He's cast enough healing spells on the party.
Let's be honest, though. I think the majority of his healing spells have been on the puppy.
I get lay on hands, though.
This is true. This is true, but that does not dissuade Obame from saying he's coming along anyway.
Right.
In part because if I don't have Obame come along, Eric might get a little upset with me in the next session when he's hanging out in Coomeridge doing nothing.
Accurate.
Very accurate.
You can hire security guards.
I can always strap my backpack to his legs and just run away.
That's a horrible idea. Well,
no, I know.
So you head out. You do manage to procure more horses. This time you promise you'll bring them back. Really, for real this time.
You've said that twice now.
This is the third time you've gotten horses, and hopefully the first time you return with them.
Is Meepo big enough to ride a horse?
She's riding a pony.
Oh, cool, a pony! I'm going to name it Sparkle and maybe make its hair purple.
In my head canon, you have used prestidigitation to create a cutie mark on the back paunch of the pony.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I'm upset that I know what that is.
I don't even know what that is, and I'm the gay one.
No, it's the toy line, which is also owned by Hasbro, which owns Wizards of the Coast. So the crossover stuff is applicable. The My Little Pony toy line, the pictures that they put on basically the horse's butt, is called a cutie mark. But never mind about
that. That's like a wagon on my butt.
No one is willing to check. And that right there is going to end up being a Twitch clip. Okay. So the beginning of your trip is incredibly uneventful. There is, you have the same terse moment of traveling through Gore's Gate, where the work details that are still there, trying to clear out what rubble they can, bury remains as they find them, they just sort of stare at you as you go by. They're all filthy from working through the day. You are all relatively clean because you've only been traveling for 3 days at this point. You sort of silently go past them and not say anything.
But I'm not allowed to add one spell.
Yeah, Gore's Gate is eventually going to be rebuilt. It's at a crossroads, so trade does go through there, but they're not at the point where they can do that yet. They just don't have the manpower for it. You continue down the long road because it circumnavigates most of Circulus, so it's well-maintained for the most part. It's easy to travel. There will be a point later on where you veer off and head north to Adrolanca, but it's much easier to go this way. As you travel for a few days, you get to the point where it begins to get a lot foggier. Like, there's one morning where you wake up and you think, well, it's kind of foggy, but that'll burn off as the day goes on. It's kind of warm out, so, you know, that'll be fine. And the fog doesn't burn off. You can see maybe about 60, 70 feet before it's just looming shadows that could be anything. And then you end up in Barovia. No, you don't.
You're the worst.
I'm not going to do that to you. I only realized I only just realized that having it be foggy would make it sound like you were going to go to Barovia, but no, you are not going to Barovia. Not yet. Or are you? No, you're not.
Why?
Or are you?
No one believes you anymore, Crash.
Well, some of the party members recognize where you are because you are getting fairly close to where Fenix acquired his fixation on wagon smashing.
Oh!
Yeah. I made a Twitch clip of that also.
Time to get another Crush Pit. Where's the wagon?
Well, you're not there yet. You're recognizing the area, although it has changed. Before, the woods didn't look very nice, but they look a lot worse now. There's a lot more decay. The ground is a bit squishier anytime you get off the road. There are plenty of mushrooms around. There is, like, the air just smells like something is rotting. It's a mixture of smelling animal decay and plant decay. It is a smorgasbord of rotting odors. And you find other smashed wagons, ones that Fenix didn't get to. They are pre-smashed wagons.
Who dare do this?
Some of them appear to have wintered over, but some of them look fresh.
Can I, like, I don't know.
This is Dungeons & Dragons. Tell me what you want to do, and I'll say if you need to roll.
Can I look what's around me?
Sure, give me a perception check.
3 is going to cut it.
You see fog and trees and broken wagons.
Well, I'm just going to walk forward.
You don't have to walk forward. You're on a horse. Unless you want to dismount and examine stuff. That's okay, too.
Yeah, I'll examine it the ground.
The marks on the wagons look familiar to you. It looks like these wagons were also attacked by twig blights, the same tree creatures that you encountered the last time you were on this stretch of road, back in episode 0.
Ugh.
At this point, you are aware that you have grown considerably in power since then, so you don't think that twig blights would be a problem unless the entire forest was twig blights. Then they might be a slight inconvenience.
Yeah, I'll just get back on the horse.
Okay.
None of this damage looks new. It looks all old and...
Some of it's new, some of it's old.
Some of it... Okay. Fenix, what did you see? Anything important?
Nothing really.
Okay.
Ari, you are... Actually, no, you weren't here.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't part of the party at this point. You joined in Gore's Gate.
Yeah.
The ones he's never been here.
Yeah.
The only ones that were there is Ponk and Obain.
Obain's the only one who would know.
Obain,
Fenix, and Ponk were all here.
This is my origin.
Yeah, it's an origin story. Obain makes a comment then that you never wiped out the cause of the Twig Blights. You fought a few and then immediately left. So whatever created those blights has spent the better part of a year, apparently, making new ones.
This is probably something we should check out, because this is along the major trade road.
Based on how many wagons you see smashed? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we need to do something with this, because if this is something I think Lord Idris might want us to check out, or at least if trade is going to be coming up and down this road, and it will, we need to do something to keep that flowing.
Okay. Well, conveniently, you suddenly hear the sound of combat coming from up ahead.
Well, then let us investigate.
Yes.
Okay. You gallantly march off into the fog, and you encounter two, they look like incredibly large humans. They are bald, covered in tattoos. They're wearing different kinds of clothing. They're not dressed the same, but they look very similar. And I'm going to turn this over to the two people who I just introduced. What does the rest of the party see?
Tom, go first.
The first one is a wearing kind of a brown cloak. He's a little hunched over for his height. He's only about 7'2". And he has a quarterstaff that he's kind of leaning on to kind of help him stand upright.
Oh my gosh, he's a Vykrul.
And with his other hand, he's holding a wood blight. Is that what they were called?
Twig blight.
Twig blight. Arms are ripped off, and it's screaming. And it's like trying to bite at him. And you see this person's just kind of tilting his head back and forth, looking at it.
And the other one you see standing taller than this one, 7'7", wearing leather trousers with chain armor on the top, holding a great axe with a hand crossbow tied to his belt, covered in arm tattoos, and just towering over that same twig blade that his friend is holding.
How curious this is.
Shall we just put it out his misery?
Oh, be still, brother. We must take this and examine it.
All right, you do your weird magic-y thing.
What language are they speaking?
I don't think you speak it.
Do I? I probably don't.
No, but Ari is going. Ari bought a spell.
Do part of what any he of you speak giant?
No.
I speak fist.
The way of the fist.
Yeah, that's there the verbal go. Component for casting wagon. No one said they were trying to be stealthy as they marched off.
No, we're
off
riding horses. We're generally not stealthy riding horses.
Horses don't tend to be the stealthiest of animals, no.
No, they don't.
Everyone is very much aware of everyone else's presence here.
Oh, we're aware of you, don't worry.
You just don't care at the moment.
just look up when I hear some sound and just kind of turn towards them.
So, Tom, for your character, I would like you to make a strength check.
Strength check? Ooh. I miss Punk already. 18.
Okay. The Twig Blight sees an opening and tries to squirm a bit to bite you, but you manage to hold on firmly.
Hold still, little one. I don't mean you any harm.
He says after he's already ripped off both of its arms.
He's gonna just like with his other hand, he's just gonna maybe just he's gonna just kinda tap it a little staff. Just like tap its head a little bit.
And while he's doing that I've seen these four coming over to us, I'm just gonna move in between my friend and them. So I'm in front.
It was kinda like the albino from Princess Bride. You jogged its memory just a bit too hard.
Oh. Actually never saw that movie.
Oh, you gotta see that.
Let's not get into it.
Okay.
I am that guy who has no interest in watching it, so
it's
okay. That's fine.
He's just gonna be like, I'm sorry, I failed you, and he just kinda drops it on the ground.
What's left of the corpse just shatters into splinters.
So he just sees these people coming and he just kind of waves his arm.
So they're tall.
And Rika says, hello. Waves.
Hello.
Hail, fellow travelers.
Hello, travelers.
He will speak in common.
Yes, we reply in common. Don't worry. Okay.
Stay a while and listen.
Yes. Sadly, that's where
that's the Deckard inspiration.
Yeah. Deckard Cain without a beard.
Yeah. The best part about this is I know someone was streaming Diablo 3 this morning.
That would be me. That's why I'm tired today. Yeah.
All right. Are you going to take 1 hour to walk from one place to another since you're Deckard Cain?
Probably.
What are you talking about? We're still in the middle of the cutscene.
Yeah, exactly.
Still in the cutscene.
So if we've just met Deckard Cain, there should be skeletons right about.
Well, twig blights.
Twig blights.
They'll do.
Good day to you.
Good day, good fellows. What brings you out in this fog?
This horrible infestation.
The twig blights.
We're going to clean it up.
We're getting rid of them.
Well, that's very good. May we be of assistance?
You can see about 16 things that you can recognize as destroyed twig blights, and possibly more. Some of them may have burst into their component parts from a sideswipe of something, but there's at least 16 corpses lying around at this point.
Right. Well, you've done quite a good job already. Do you know whether there is a larger infestation?
That's what he's trying to figure out.
Perhaps we could be of some assistance then.
Are you of here?
We are from a town to the north.
Editor's note, technically to the east.
East, okay. Sorry. I wasn't sure on the map. Yeah. I know Adrolanka is south of Coombridge. That's about it.
No, north is Wagonville.
Clarification that he just got it wrong. I was actually about to do an inside check because I knew that was wrong.
Well, for the record, and this is going from a map and description that Matt, Ari's player, has given me, Adrolanka is to the west and north of where you are now. It is a coastal city, but it's on the interior coast of the giant ring that makes Circulus.
I thought Coombridge was farther north.
It is further Adrolanka. East.
East, yeah, because it's the giant C shape,
yeah,
right.
But the long road goes and it follows the curve of Circulus, so you have to go south and then north. You could make a beeline for it, but you'd be going through wilderness and some roads that aren't as well maintained. It actually slows you down.
We want to travel the civilized routes.
Well, it'll you were out. Until you got here.
Until we got here, yes. All right. I'll correct that. Whatever. I don't have the map in front of me, so he would have just said from wherever. He would have given a general direction of where Coombridge was.
I have never been to Coombridge.
Obame says really most people haven't.
Yeah, most people have not due to the... well, let's not talk about that. It's safe there now.
He's the Walking Dead all over again.
He's going to pull back his hood, and he's a relatively young looking man, probably about 32 years old, but his voice just sounds very weary. It's more the mileage than the years. Like he's just been through a lot.
He's been to a lot of heavy metal concerts.
Yes.
So I know the player knows the race. Ari may not know what these guys are. However, he's at this point if they don't exist in Circulus as a whole, he's already aware of some dimensional slipping between another world and here. So he may kind of assume that they're not from Kumri or not from Circulus if they're not a particular race that is native to us.
You, in your lifetime, Ari, have seen humans that were quite large before, especially in Adrolanka. They were frequently hired as higher level thugs because they could smash things really easily.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing what a Goliath is, you don't immediately think, oh, wow, this is a totally different race.
Right. No, but they look, I know they look a little off aside from their height.
Well, their skin's a bit grayish. Yes.
Yeah. But that,
well, give me,
that to him wouldn't necessarily be any clear indicator, but you want me to make a roll?
Yeah. Give me an insight check.
Okay. Yes, plus 4. So that goes to 12.
You're not 100% sure that they're not human, but you have an inkling that they're not human.
Well, I think they're size alone would give me that, but or at least him that. So
maybe right, their mom cooks not, really, really well.
I'm just big boned.
Yeah.
He kind of look at Meepo a little bit. He's like,
hold on. Sorry. Go ahead.
Is that a kobold?
Uh-huh. I'm a kobold.
Dear goodness, a kobold.
And he's going to kind of just start walking slowly over towards them.
It's weird to see one of them out in the day.
It's very strange.
He's just going to reach his hand out towards her. Like, not threatening her.
She reaches back to shake hands.
Good to meet you. I am Orth Ironmaw.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Orth.
Oh, you may call me Orth.
Okay, I am Meepo.
Meepo. And how did you find yourself here, child?
I think I was born here. I had a clan, but I think they came from somewhere else. But I've always been here.
Until to say somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, though. They didn't really... I don't remember. I was too little.
He's going to turn around and go and look at Akari, his character.
You think?
Somewhere else.
Interesting. Tell me, little one. Do your clan speak of dragons?
Uh-huh, yeah. We worship the Great One. And Mr. Fenix is a Great One, but not the...
Offensive.
Dragon.
Well, that's come dragonist. On now. That's not dragonist.
And Orth does speak Draconic. So
cool.
He's going to say hello to Fenix and Meepo in Draconic.
Oh, awesome.
Or makes a mental note, another language to learn.
Yeah, we can talk about you while you're there.
I've got another one for you, so don't worry about that.
I already know my eighth level feat.
You're just going to be learning language after language after language. Like, yeah. They're not going to be able to say anything behind my back ever.
No. So no, he does want to be able to talk to Fenix and Meepo in their own language. That's one.
Orth is going to then walk over to Ari and then greet him because he hasn't talked to him yet.
Sir.
Good day, sir.
And you are from here as well?
I am native to this world. I am Aristobulus. You may call me Ari.
Ari, it's grand to meet you, sir.
It is pleasing to meet you as well. Tell me, are you aware of a place called, and has Ari heard, he knows Fenix, or not Fenix, Vex and Obane come from a place called Feyre.
We've said Feyre multiple times.
You've said it. So at this point, this is the only other world that he knows. And he knows Meepo's clan came from there, and he knows that the goblins, I think, came from there, too.
No, the goblins are native.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Meepo, Vex, and Ponk as well. Ponk and Obane. All
and Obane,
from the other world. And yeah, and Obane. All right, so, rephrase. Pray tell, do you come from a place called Feyre?
No, we don't, actually.
No.
Okay.
Our home was called Exandria.
I have not heard of this place.
We're from the continent of Tal'Dorei upon Alexandria.
We come from a land down under.
it's quite interesting that you know about other things like this.
I have friends who are guests from their homeworld.
Like the kobold.
But her clanmates, I believe, were from
Feyre. Some were born here, and some were from there.
Obane points out that he's from Feyre.
Yeah. I forgot he was there, because he's AFK.
he will greet Obane, too, even though he's not there.
They have a discussion, which will be retconned later.
Okay.
The funny thing, I think giants and dwarves use the same alphabet.
Yeah, runes. So, yeah.
They don't talk the same language, but they write the same language.
Yeah.
I'm Cargoth, by the way. Asked.
Cargoth?
Yep.
I was allowing you to introduce yourself, brother.
Whatever works.
Everyone give me a perception check at disadvantage, except for Ari, because he has a robe of eyes.
Okay. Does that have to do with smell or sound?
It has to do with sight or sound.
Or.
How do you do disadvantage?
Would I just do a normal roll then?
I guess
roll 2 20s and take the lower.
Okay. I rolled a 16 and a 17.
16 is good enough.
I rolled a 12.
6.
Ari got a 10, which goes to 14.
Okay. You hear crying.
Brother.
What was that?
What? I hear nothing.
It sounds Somebody's like a sad. Small child crying.
Somebody's lost.
Do I know what direction it's coming from?
To the north.
I book it.
Ari follows immediately.
Okay.
Follows his brother.
Not very far from where you are, there is a small child sort of huddled up against a tree trunk, not facing you. She's got her head covered with her arms, and she is very obviously translucent.
Oh.
Religion check?
Joining them?
Yep. Good.
What?
Wow. Okay.
Would that be religion, yeah?
That's a good question. I'll allow it.
I don't think I have anything to roll. So I'm just
I would also allow a survival check for that.
Either way.
Survival 14. Check?
Survival.
13 okay. plus 4, 17.
Okay, I rolled a 5, and survival is plus 1. So 6, 4, yeah, I think.
Okay. This appears to be a ghost. What kind of ghost? You're not entirely certain, but this is not a creature that is among the living. She appears to be a young girl. From what you can tell, it's a human girl. Maybe around Ellie's age, but it's hard to tell when she's curled up like this against the tree trunk. She has long black hair, and she is wearing a white dress that is stained and torn.
She didn't step out of the TV, did she?
She did not step out of a TV.
Just climb on the roof.
You did not watch any video of a well.
Okay. Okay, then.
Can I slowly walk up to her? Just with my hands stretched out, not aggressively or threateningly, just kind of...
Okay.
Little one, you okay? See if she responds in any kind of way.
She makes a startled squeak of surprise, and let me check something here. Oh, hey, yeah. All right, so immediately sort of bolts around, climbs up Fenix's back, and is sort of just like hanging onto his back and shivering.
Not what I expected.
Come down, child.
She's still sniffling.
It's okay. They're nice people.
You lost, darling.
Yeah.
Have you lost your family?
Yeah.
There's nothing to cry about. The tree thing.
Mr. Hoots tried to stop them.
Mr. Hoots?
Mr. Hoots is my friend.
Where is your friend?
I don't know.
Describe him to me, please.
He's big and fluffy.
Big and fluffy.
And he likes tea parties.
Maybe we can find him.
Yeah. You want us to find Mr. Hoots for you?
You do that?
Always.
Big and fluffy?
Mm-hmm.
What color is he?
Brown. Okay. With little white bits on his head.
Okay. Maybe we'll find him.
Okay. Kargoth, when you offer to find Mr. Hoots, she climbs down Fenix's back and climbs up yours.
Okay.
All right. What do you do?
Can I look for tracks for anything that's out of the ordinary for this area?
You find a lot of tracks. You don't even have to roll to find tracks.
Mm-hmm. But are there any of these tracks useful?
They appear to be blight tracks, and they've been coming from the north.
Okay.
But those are the most recent tracks. Kargoth realizes that ghosts don't leave footprints usually.
Yeah, but maybe it was a physical being that was our friend, that was all.
Well, Mr. Hoots isn't here.
Orth is still confused what a Mr. Hoots is. He has no concept of toys. He's looking around for an owl.
Come on, then. Let's go see if we can find him. And I start heading north.
Okay.
Come, friends. Follow. Of course, I'm last. So I'm telling a story by the time you guys get there. So.
Okay. Give me a survival check, and let me know if you get a 15 or higher.
I got a 15.
16.
Plus something.
16.
Okay, you find some bear tracks.
That's more like it. Are they heading away from where we were, or...?
90-degree angle, more or less.
Okay.
They cross the path of the other tracks that you were following.
Start following those tracks.
Okay. You find a bloody mess.
Okay.
There is shallow ravine that at one point was probably a small creek bed, but it's dried up now, except for some puddles that might just be condensation from all the fog that is still surrounding the area. And in this depression in the ground, you see the body of a human girl who looks very familiar to the shivering ghost that is currently still holding on to Kargoth's back. You can actually feel the pressure of her holding on to your back. You're not quite sure how that works, but you haven't dealt with a lot of ghosts.
Child fallen.
I'm still holding on pretty hard.
Yeah, she really is.
There's nothing. Perhaps we can help you.
You hear the hoot of an owl.
Okay, he looks around.
A lumbering form comes out of the fog. Your first thought is, it's a bear.
Or it's an owl.
But the head of it is not that of a bear.
As it's coming out, I put the kit down.
Yep.
The girl yells, Mr. Hoots! And she runs over and goes to give Mr. Hoots a hug.
We found her friend. Yay!
I don't think it's her friend.
I think it's hungry.
Oh.
He's going to, Orth's is just going to tapping the body with his...
He goes near the body and...
Mess up.
You hear a low... It's like the cross between a growl and a hoot.
Okay. He's just going to just...
He's mad.
He's going to look at the thing and be like, silence, beast.
It gets louder. And it's directed totally at Earth.
Did you kill this child?
No, he didn't. It was the trees.
True beast.
You're going to look at the body. Does it look like it's been clawed up? I mean, like big claws, not twig blade claws. Can you make like an investigation check or...
There's a lot of damage. Give me an investigation check.
Okay.
I would also accept medicine.
Actually, that would be much better. He's going to go all CSI.
At disadvantage, because any time you move towards this right. body, Mr. Hoots gets a bit more aggressive.
Okay. Even with disadvantage, I got a 22.
Yeah.
The roll was a 24.
If an owlbear was attacking a little girl, you'd see more missing pieces.
Okay.
There's some wounds that appear to be made by needles. There's some parts that look like she was whipped or tied somehow. This is not a happy occasion.
Okay. He'll quit poking the body and he'll say,
"The girl speaks true. The beast did not kill her.
You're sure?
These wounds did not come from a child's sinister work at hand. This poor child was tortured. Who did this to you, child?
Trees.
Small ones.
Bigger than me.
Ah.
That doesn't narrow it down.
I was going to say.
From Meepo's
perspective, everything's big, so it's probably her perspective. Yeah,
exactly.
Were they bigger than Mr. Hoots?
Not the ones I saw. I think there might have been more.
I beg your forgiveness, spirit.
Obame, perhaps some proper religious rites may be in order.
Obame has the same difficulty getting to the body.
Yeah, well.
He also looks more bite-sized to an owlbear.
Hey, little girl, what's your name?
Well, at least say some prayers. You know, something. I mean, maybe not necessarily touch it, but at least maybe say some kind of religious thing. Ari's not good with that.
He doesn't have that spell prepared.
No, he does not have that spell prepared. And religion is the one knowledge skill that I purposely did not take.
I do.
It fits with your backstory.
Yeah.
Little girl, what's your name? My name's Meepo.
Anne.
Hi, Anne.
She's on your back now.
She's on Meepo's back?
Yeah. She just like climbing on people's backs and hugging.
How big is Anne?
Well, she's a ghost. You can feel pressure.
Oh, she can just hang out? Okay.
You can feel pressure, but she's not really adding a lot of weight to you.
Oh, okay. Okay, Anne, you can hang out and do my...
To see if he has... I know there's a cleric spell that's specifically used for, like, services.
Ceremony. It was in one of the new books. I think Xanthar's.
Yeah, he does not have that one, so...
Yeah.
Doesn't have it prepared.
Yeah. I'm not looking for anything major, just at least a few nice, kind words. I don't know if that owlbear is going to be... real helpful. We're not going to be able to bury her.
in all honesty, Obame is looking kind of shaken by this. His deity, if I remember correctly, it's Ilmater.
Is
the god of those who suffer.
Yeah, she suffered, clearly.
Yes. So he's looking kind of upset in a righteous fury type of way. Yeah.
He wants something to hit.
Orth is going to kind of just wave over to his brother. He's like, a word, brother, if you would.
Right. I kind of wonder.
Ari's going to start looking around. Yeah, Ari's going to start looking around for more tracks, seeing what else might be here. See if maybe he can collect other evidence pointing in the direction of wherever whatever attacked or might have gone.
Well, give me a survival check, and I'll let you roll at advantage because this involves sight.
Okay. All right, well, so 21.
There are plenty of tracks that look like they would be made from feet that are roots. They do go in various directions. There were a bunch that congregated right on Anne's corpse, but they're still predominantly coming from the north.
Did blood trail anywhere from here? Not towards, but from.
It looks like Anne ran to here. And this is where they caught up with her.
This is where, okay. And then they slaughtered her here.
Anne, where did you meet Mr.
Home?
Which way is home?
She looks around. I don't know.
Okay.
It was dark. It was running.
Okay, that's all right. We'll figure it
out. Ari, you see her footprints came from the north also.
Okay, so she fled south to here.
Yes.
And whatever chased her went back that way.
Yes.
Okay. So north is where we will head.
Orth, whatever his name is. I can't even say it.
Whatever you say is canon.
Orth is going to have a conversation with his brother. I can help her. I can bring the little one back.
Maybe not the right time.
But she suffers.
Both know that you're bringing them back isn't quite bringing them back.
He just seems utterly puzzled by this, like, wouldn't you want to come back? But he'll even though he's the older brother, he'll just kind of nod at his brother. He's like, very well, lead on, Ari.
And I say, just so north then.
What?
I just say as out loud, so north then.
Yes.
Near as I can tell, the child fled here after receiving her wounds and her attackers caught up with her here and then returned northwards.
Well, some tracks go north, most tracks go south.
Right. Which is where we came from?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to use Wild Shape and turn into perhaps a Bloodhound.
Okay. And gasps.
How do I do that? Do I need to roll something? Or?
No, Wild Shape's just a bonus action.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's a puppy.
Mr. Orth, are you a sorcerer?
Now he's quite. A dog. He can't
not
talk.
Quite.
Ari has heard about this kind of magic before, but he's never actually seen it.
That's really cool.
He's a bloodhound, but since he's a Goliath, he's probably like more like a Great Dane, like Scooby-Doo size. So.
I'm picturing Beethoven the Saint Bernard.
Yes.
In this short amount of time that you've had this conversation, there is already an additional puddle that is just drool.
Sounds like my dog. And I want to go over and sniff the tracks and see if I can kind of narrow down where she came from.
Actually joined him in that. I'm just going to...
So you're going to go and sniff the corpse too?
Just for tracking.
So wait, you both shapeshift, or is he just skull the body?
I trust me on this.
You just see the 7-foot-tall Goliath sniffing the ground.
You know what? They're not from this world. Ari's willing to give them a little benefit of the doubt, although he has seen shapeshifting before. Okay. Maybe more of a werewolf shapeshifting, but hey.
So
you've
done enough rolls that I'm not going to make you do another one right this second, but you're pretty sure you've picked up the scent.
Okay.
And unison, we book it.
As you start to go away, Meepo, you feel Anne hold on to you a bit tighter and says, take me home.
Okay, which way?
Take me home.
Hey, guys, we need to take Anne. She wants to go home.
Where's... Well,
and Meepo, you had been heading north with them.
Right.
That's when...
Well, Ari's following. As soon as the dog starts taking off, Ari's following the dog.
She's holding on to you quite tightly now. You're starting to have to struggle to breathe a little bit because her arms are around your neck. There's not much of Meepo
for
a little girl to hold on to, because Meepo's small too. So for her to hold, for her to be on Meepo's back, she had to wrap her arms around Meepo's neck, and she's holding tight enough that Meepo is now having some difficulty breathing. And it's getting worse the further north Meepo goes, where she has fallen behind at this point.
Oh.
Damn. My brothers are too far ahead to realize this.
Don't leave me.
I won't leave you, Anne, but you need to stop squishing my neck or I won't
be able to go. Don't leave me.
Ari will drop back when Meepo is falling behind. He's not willing to leave her alone in this forest.
I'm not alone. I have Anne.
Yeah, but Anne is intangible.
What's intense?
Oh, she seems quite tangible right now.
Yeah.
Don't leave me behind.
A creepy dude is going to just turn, look back, go,
don't leave me behind.
Anne, I won't leave you behind, I promise. But you have to quit squishing my neck.
Bark, come bark, bark.
Bark, bark.
Come back.
Squirrel.
Are we waiting or are we going?
There seems to be some problem with Anne.
Come back.
What? Anne? Are you okay?
Come back.
I'm right here, Anne.
Leave me.
I'm right here.
Creepy dude trots over.
I walk over to.
Problem is, I think the player knows what's going on, but the character doesn't.
Nope.
Well, we're not give leaving me, you. Give me an insight check then.
Who, me?
Anyone who's trying to figure out why this was a thing, don't leave me, why she's holding on to you.
If we were playing Wraith the Oblivion, I think I could figure 15. It out. But...
Yeah, I know why, but Kargoth doesn't.
Yeah. Insight? Okay, 15. I rolled 11 plus 4 for insight.
A 15 is high enough. Who rolled a 15? Okay. I heard someone say that.
Me.
I rolled a 16.
I think I rolled a 15. Well, I rolled an 11 plus 4.
That's 15.
That's 15?
Okay, that's what I thought. All right.
There are two Anns. There's the Ann ghost, and there's the Ann corpse.
Yeah.
Who's staying with the body?
No, Anne can't go far from the body.
That's what I'm saying. Who's staying with the body?
I'll go back.
Take me home.
Okay, Anne, we go.
Obaim should probably stay with you as well.
As you go back to the body, the owlbear has wandered off again.
Okay.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Can I sense where he went? Can I smell where he went?
You smell that he's gone off. But you can't really smell in what direction, so you're assuming downwind, which would be westerly somewhere.
Okay.
With the owlbear gone, Obaim, see if we can perhaps perform proper rites on her remains and put her to rest.
Obaim goes to start that, and Anne says, not here. Not here. Take me home.
Home? She wants to go home, guys, but I don't know what means. She says home. Not here.
But she came from the north, so if we take her body back north, that may be sufficient for her.
Maybe. Anne, would that work for you?
Take me home.
Country road to the place where I belong.
I was thinking it.
Oh.
I am bad and I should feel bad, but I don't.
No, because all of us thought it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want, even though he can't say it right now, you could throw her body on top of a creepy do.
Is that going to work? How big is it? I mean, we have horses too. We have horses.
Put her on one of the horses.
Ari and Obaim, I guess, will try to lift up what's left of her.
No, I do it.
You want to handle it?
Yeah.
Ari's more than willing to let you guys touch her. Dead bodies are for other people, as far as he's concerned.
Okay, so Kargoth picks up.
Unless they're dead wizards.
I am one of those people who will touch the dead.
Okay, so Kargoth picks up Anne's body. She is incredibly light and delicate. You shouldn't be too surprised by this, because she is the body of a little human girl. But you're still taken aback about how light and delicate she seems in your arms.
And I'm going to go follow Kargoth so that Anne doesn't freak out and squish me again.
You're not entirely certain that putting this body on the back of a horse would be a good idea.
Yeah, it's probably, we're going to have to carry her somehow.
And Kargoth, when you pick up her body, Anne's ghost is immediately on your back.
Oh, well, there we are. Thank
you. Hello.
I'm like the Flash for my running.
Okay, so at this point,
yeah.
What do you say we take a 5-minute break?
Yep.
Great.
Hey, this is Crash stepping in to say thank you for listening and to give you a bit of news, errata, whatever. I am editing this differently compared to how I've edited previous episodes. Normally what I've been doing, since I was always intending to upload these to YouTube, I've been editing these in a video editor, HitFilm Express, which I actually enjoy immensely, but it's not really built for audio editing. Since I'm not uploading these to YouTube anymore, since no one was watching them there, guess what? I get to use Audacity, and oh, it's so much better. Hopefully you are appreciating the editing in this episode a bit more. You might not even be noticing the editing in this episode. And if that's the case, that's fantastic. That means I did my job well. So hopefully that's going to continue. I think I'm having a shorter turnaround time with this also, but I'm only partway through editing this, so we'll find out, won't we? I want to give a shout out to all of the fantastic players in this campaign. We sort of skipped over their websites in the introduction, so I want to give shout outs to Chris, who on Twitter is Akari_MAG, and he's got a podcast at AzerothCTC.com. Oddly enough, even though it is a Warcraft-themed podcast, they spend some time talking about Dungeons & Dragons there too, which is kind of nice. Also, Jen has a website, bookofjen.net. She has a podcast there also. Her Twitter account is SLOTownJen, and she is also on Mastodon. She's on the Elec .xyz server, ELEKK.xyz, and her account on Mastodon is Queen of Haiku. Tom is on Twitter. His account there is Bolthra, BOLTHRA. Eric was not in this episode, but he was here in spirit as Obey Metalcaster. His Twitter handle is Synergy, SYNRGY007. And he has a podcast at votetokick.com. And you can find all of my stuff at aaronbsmith.com. We stream this every Saturday from 7:30 until 9:30 is what we aim for. We went a bit late this time because we got really into it. And the combat that's going to happen ran a bit longer than I thought it would, which was also okay. But, you know, normally 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. That's 12:30 in the morning UTC. So if you want to listen to this live, see how the sausage is made, why not stop in? My Twitch account is The Archive Plays, so twitch.tv/TheArchivePlays, and you get to see us live. If you like these episodes, please tell a friend. Tell someone who you think might also be interested in it. We don't advertise at all, so we're only gaining viewership through word of mouth, or listenership, I guess, since we're not doing a video version except on Twitch. But in any case, I'd love to see this show grow a bit, and that's only going to happen with your help. So thank you so much for listening, and let's move right back into the episode. Okay, we're back.
Woo!
And we have a point of inspiration that has been purchased. So, Earth, Wind, and
yes.
Fire.
Oh, no.
He's a druid.
That's his name now.
These are the elements that combine to make the avatar.
Forth, Wind and Fire.
That's his middle name, because his last name is Ironmar. Canonical, because he's Kargoth's brother. But he now has a point of inspiration because Chris spent 50 points of XP on Twitch to give it to him.
Thank you.
Which is fantastic. Tom can still spend inspiration because he's got 91 XP. Jen has 94 XP for that.
Oh, I do.
However, Matt has 134 XP.
Hogger.
Maybe he's been playing the mini games or something, but at 100 points, you could spend 100 points to have me answer any yes or no question on the campaign. I'd have to answer truthfully.
Who dies?
I already. That's not a yes or no question.
That's not a yes or no.
The answer would be yes.
Does.
Was in Idano? Who was one of the people in Idano?
Does Fenix die?
This is true.
And he died.
This is true.
Does Fenix die? That should be the question.
But yes. That's a statement, not a question.
Shall we continue with the body?
Yeah, let's. Maybe. Yeah. That.
Okay. So, with your amazing senses of smell, you are able to follow the trail. I was referring to Ari. No. You are able to follow the trail to the north. It's not straight north, and there's twists and turns, but you're able to follow it pretty well. Anne was the only human to come through here, so her scent stands out from all the plant matter that you're smelling otherwise. And you eventually come to a clearing that has two very large trees in the middle of it. They are incredibly large compared to the other trees. Most of this forest appears to be like new growth, where most of the trees are no more than maybe about a foot and a half in diameter. These trees are like 5 feet across on their trunks, and they're very close together. They almost grew out of the same spot. They sort of twist around each other a little bit.
All right, I'm going to shift out of the creepy-do form back to his normal form.
Okay.
He just wants to. He's gonna. Excuse me. He's gonna kind of walk over to the to one of the trees and just kind of put his hand on it.
I put Anne's body down gently and draw my axe just in case.
Are you hear a voice in your head? You haven't heard it for a few days.
No, it's been quiet.
Yeah.
Give them a mute.
I wish.
Well, Diana got kind of bored when you were describing spells for 6 days. It loves when you use spells. It's not so fond of just copying things down. But the voice says, this is not a good place. Something died here.
Can I make a nature check on the tree?
Go ahead.
It's a tree.
Oh, it certainly is.
But is it more than a tree?
11. So it's a tree.
It's a white tree.
You don't like this tree.
Oh,
or actually, right. No. You, because I've read your backstory.
Yes.
You do like this tree. This is a cool-looking tree. You don't normally see trees like this. Very interesting.
This is a place of death.
That's bad, right?
The large man speaks that something had died. Something like the demons my former master was infatuated.
All right. That's not something we want to deal with, preferably.
I would very much like to now.
Anywhere you want to leave probably is something we should eradicate.
Yes, very much so.
Ari will then begin. Without knowing what it is first.
I'm okay.
Ari's
going
to start
this.
This
conversation is only happening in Ari's head right now.
Yeah,
I know, but even as a player, just that's terrifying.
I'm okay with destroying this. Let me help you.
That would be no. I will take care of this on my own. Ari will begin to perform his detect magic ritual. Hopefully
okay.
He can dig up something here.
Okay, about 1 minute in, you realize that you're not going to have time to finish this ritual.
Yeah, it's a 10-minute ritual.
Yes.
Because something's going to interrupt, I figured.
There is
much,
movement. But there is a significant amount of movement. There's a lot more movement than you are comfortable with.
Yeah.
Were you in
Where?
The clearing?
From the trees?
I know Earth was in the clearing.
Yes, I followed my brother.
No, okay. I would have gone to just either side because I would have wanted to examine the whole clearing under the detect magic. I wouldn't necessarily have been right in the middle of it.
Okay.
So I would have just gone off to either side.
Well, that's unfortunate.
And where is Anne?
The next center, or sorry, the other giant.
Kargoth.
Set her down. Argoth.
Okay, so her body is done. Where is the ghost? With the body? Somewhere else?
Argoth?
I'm assuming still on me.
He set the body down. That was the last thing I remember
right,
him saying.
I got that. I'm just trying to sort where the other end is.
Okay, Amipa, where are you?
That's what I'm trying to sort out. I want to know where my friend is.
Oh, there they are.
Is Anne still on my back?
Yes.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go stand near him.
I like it here. I don't like it here.
I don't like it here either. But I think we'll be.
We'll protect you, Puppet. Don't worry.
I will protect you, Anne. And I would like to cast Gentle Repose on her.
What does that do?
You touch a corpse or other remains. For the duration, the target is protected from decay and can't become undead. Spell also effectively extends the time limit on raising the target from dead, since days spent under the influence of the spell don't count against the time limit of spells and such. So basically, I want to keep somebody else from trying to raise her.
Okay. Kargoth, you feel Anne shiver.
What did
when
you do?
The spell is cast.
I'm protecting her from the darkness. Trust me, brother.
Always.
So what he has to do is he kind of reaches inside his robes and he brings out a little pinch of salt, and then he has two little copper pieces, and he puts a copper piece on each of her eyes, kind of rubs the salt on her and just kind of waves his hands over, you know, and probably like a blackish cloud is around her, but it's not hurting her. It's just sort of like encasing her.
Okay.
She is protected now from the darkness.
Seeing all the movement around.
Yeah, a lot of the trees you walked past weren't trees.
Yep. Can I take my great axe?
You're going to chop some wood?
Cut my wrist. And as the blood starts to pour and caress onto the blade sets on fire.
And heavy metal music plays in the background.
That character is so metal.
And at that point, Crash, I would like to activate my hybrid.
Describe for our viewers at home and the party involved what happens.
As the blade sets alight, I drop both my arms to my side. The veins start to pump out, and fur begins to grow on Kargoth's skin. His teeth grow, a snout forms, his hands turn to claws, and he turns into a werewolf.
Wow, that's a neat alter self.
This one from a horror movie, all the way to Twilight.
For the record, nothing here is sparkling. No, that's not true. That's not true, but Meepo does know prestidigitation.
Right, yeah.
If she makes him a sparkly werewolf, I will be highly upset. If Punk was here, he'd attack.
For the record, Oban can make things sparkly as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Now, she's pretty impressed with that trick. She's never seen that.
Werewolves.
So as far as Meepo's concerned, the two of you are both sorcerers. That must be the answer.
And Meepo's just glad that now someone else in the party has a tail.
Yeah.
Only Kargoth is fluffy.
Yeah, Meepo's not fluffy.
We are a strange family.
Kargoth, you are dimly aware that Anne giggles a little bit and says your fur tickles. At this point, I think it's safe to say we should probably...
Okay. So
just one question. So does that make her a ghost rider?
I love this game so much! Ari, okay. What's your role? Don't say wizard. Don't say wizard.
Stepped away.
Okay. Oh. Well, let's move down the line then. Fenix, what's your role?
19.
Sorry. I bumped the mute.
That's okay. What'd you get?
13.
13.
I said class clown.
Also acceptable. Kargoth.
15.
Meepo.
Rolled a 17, and I have a plus 1 to initiative, so 18.
Actually, all right. The more I think about it, Ari's probably the jerk who would remind teachers of homework.
Definitely.
Oban got a nat 20. Healer's going first. Oh, and I've got Shepard on here still.
He ain't here, honey.
No, he's not. Earth, wind, and fire.
15.
Brothers with the same rules. That's twice that's happened tonight.
All right. Round one. Fight.
Ryan, who are you?
Obame's going first. Well, no one needs healing right now.
No.
So he is going to open up by providing some guidance, as religious figures tend to do. That would be with a guiding bolt. That is a 15 on the die, and that is a hit. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, the part of the game where the DM plays against characters created and controlled by the DM. That's 46 damage. Not 46, yeah. 4d6.
Yeah. It's a hefty spell for first level.
Plus, given the next attack advantage, that's a good one.
So that's 16 points damage. Ari, you were close to the edge of this clearing. So two plant creatures that appear to be made of vines just sort of like pop out of the ground next to you. But one of them acquires a bit of extra sparkle.
Okay.
And is bloodied by that. Fenix, you're up. You want to attack
the bloody.
Okay. So roll at advantage.
Just think they're wagons in their larval stage.
Well, this wagon is a 27.
Yeah, you hit it.
Wait, was that a natural 20?
No.
No, he has plus 9.
Oh, damn.
He's got a plus 2 weapon. And he's a duelist and using a one-handed weapon, so...
14.
You cut this thing in twain.
This reminds me of old times.
He likes this place.
Meepo, your turn.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand how many enemies are there and where are they in relation.
You can't count them.
Oh, that's okay. She probably can't anyway, but okay. And they look like trees?
Most of the ones near you appear to be like smallish trees, taller than you, but smaller than Mr. Ari.
Okay. I'm going to use magic missile on one of the trees near me.
Okay. Give me, I keep saying insight check this time. Give me a survival check.
Okay. I got a 4. Plus 1. I have a 5.
Okay. So yeah, you're going to send 3 magic missiles at 1, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm not even going to make you roll because your bonuses, because it's 1d4 plus 1. So that's a minimum of 6 points of damage. This thing has 4 hit points. It explodes.
Oh, okay. Got him. Yay.
There's little bits of rotting wood raining down around you. There was a small crater where it was.
I did good.
The survival check was to see if you would realize that maybe you could split it between multiples.
Oh, well, last time she just hit with... Well, no, she's done both, so I don't know. She just did that.
Okay. Ari, there is a creature made of vine that's right next to you, but there are plenty of ones made of twigs surrounding the clearing that are approaching the entire party.
Okay, so first up, Ari will cast Mage Armor upon himself and be ready for an attack.
Okay. Kargoth.
How far am I away from the one that's next to Ari?
That's a vine creature of some kind, correct?
Yep.
I would say you are within 30 feet.
I run to that and take 2 swings at it.
I'm not sure you can.
What do you mean?
I'm saying that because I've looked at your character sheet and I'm not sure there'll be anything left for the second swing. But by all means, please tell me what you
want. I'll do the first one first. Okay, I'll do the first one. And that is a 21 to hit.
Yep.
I need a d12 and a d4. So that is 12 points of slashing and 3 points of fire.
Okay, 12 points of slashing. And check on this particular... Oh, no, this one is just going to take 3 points of fire. The twig blights, I think, are weak to fire, so they'll take double damage. But this vine blight seems to have a bit more moisture inside of it.
Still alive?
Still alive. Bloodied.
I'll take the second swing. That is a 15 to hit.
That is also a hit.
7 plus 4 is... So it's 11 points of slashing and 1 point of fire.
It goes down. It doesn't explode, but it's sort of like, it's the equivalent of an explosion. If there wasn't everything getting thrown, it just sort of dismantles itself into component parts and collapses to the ground.
And as it drops, I lean back and howl.
Your howl is answered.
Uh-oh.
Yes, seriously?
Not with another howl, with a loud... echoing, incredibly long-winded hoot.
Mr. Hoots.
You feel the ground rumbling a little bit under your feet. And from your position, you are somewhat amused, actually. Because going from right to left, you just see this lumbering form of an owlbear coming through the fog and trampling twig blights in its wake. Like, it's not even stopping to take swipes. It's just running through them.
Bravo.
Oh my gosh, that was in character. That makes it even better. Earth, it's your turn. You're standing in the middle of this clearing, about 30 feet from everyone fighting at the edge.
Is there anything big near me, like a big tree, like any of the bigger things near me?
There are 2 big trees right next to you, but the advancing wave is coming from outside the clearing.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the cantrip Chill Touch to create a ghostly skeletal hand in the space of the creature within range. And basically the hand just sits on them and does necrotic damage. So on the hit, the target takes 1d8 necrotic damage and it can't regain hit points until the start of your next target.
Okay.
So he is going to reach out and touch someone.
Okay. There's a particularly nasty-looking creature that appears to be made of spikes or needles.
Does it appear to be undead, though?
It does not appear to be undead more than the rest. It is made of plant material.
Okay.
It stands out because most of these creatures are twig blights.
Okay.
This is not a twig blight. This is a different kind of blight.
Okay. So this thing looks like it's covered in needles then, you said?
It covered in or made from needles, thorns, stuff like that.
Okay. Orth is going to look right at him. He's like, "You villain, taste death." 21 to hit?
That is a hit.
Alrighty. So he does. It was 2d8 necrotic. So only 7 points of damage.
Okay. It appears to rot before your eyes, but it takes notice of you, realizes that you're the one doing it.
Ah, it should. I'm picturing like a skeletal hand, kind of look like, you know, cousin, you know, from the Addams Family.
Okay. So yeah, there's this hand. It's being face palmed, but not by its own palm. But it's looking through the fingers at you, and it's probably gonna come over and say hello to you in a little bit.
I welcome its advance.
Okay, and because I didn't take Shepard out of the initiative order, somewhere in Coomeridge, Shepard chases a squirrel. And is in turn chased by an animated suit of armor going, "Mr. Fluffytail, no!" Back to the rest of the party. So it's the tree's turn, the one that Earth is in front of.
Is the tree attacking my brother?
There, the tree he's in front of, that he's turned his back to.
Use my reaction to cast Blood Maledict on it to give it disadvantage on its attack roll.
How many rolls does that work for?
Once per short rest.
Okay,
it'll be for everything this turn.
Okay, so that was a 17 on the die, and I rerolled it and got a 17.
And is it undead?
No,
because it has because if it's undead, it has disadvantage on attack rolls against me. So.
And the other roll was a 16, but I will roll again for that. That's an 8. So that second attack is going to miss, but the first attack is a hit. Okay. And that is going to do the branch attack.
I would like to rage.
16 points of damage.
Oh,
one of the branches above you just swings down right on top of you. Two of them actually swing down right on top of you, but one of them hits and one of them misses. One of them slams the ground next to you and leaves an indentation.
And this was the one that was full of needles, right?
No. This was... Oh. Remember there were two large trees in the middle of the clearing that were exceptionally large?
Yeah.
One of them just moved and attacked your large friend.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And it's not done. It is also going to try grasping roots. That is a 1. I don't think I need to reroll that to see what disadvantage is. So roots spring up from the ground all around Earth as well, but they spring up and arc around and try to grapple him, and every single one of them goes in the wrong direction. If anything, it has actually made the ground a bit smoother for you to walk across. And it's going to try that again because it gets 2 attacks like that. It gets you the second time, and give me... Actually, no, you got to do this on your turn. So your Earth is grappled, but that's the end of that.
Okay.
The other tree attacks you. You take another 16 points of damage.
Oh, are you alive?
I'm at 6 hit points.
Obame's turn.
Well, Chip.
Obame casts Guiding Bolt. No. Well, he just saw someone take 32 points of damage in one round. So he is going to cast a healing spell at a higher level. He hoofs it over. He's going to cast Cure Wounds at 2nd level. Actually, heck with it. 3rd level. 20 hit points healed.
Gracias.
One of those rolls is a 1, but...
The other ones were 7s, so...
Yeah.
Made up for it.
For our listening audience at home, I used a bot in Discord. That's why everyone knows what I rolled.
Yay!
Fenix, it's your turn. You want to deal with trash mobs or the big bads?
The big bads.
Okay. You're going to have to hoof it.
I'm going to hoof it.
Okay. So you charge over. There are 2 trees that have large limbs that they're swinging around. Neither one's injured, so you can take your pick what you do.
I want to pick the one that's actually doing like the most damage to them.
They both did equal amounts of damage, and Earth is grappled, but he's grappled by roots that are coming out of the ground, so you don't know which tree did that.
All right, I'm just going to attack randomly. I want to hit, I don't know, like the one farthest to left. 29, natural 20.
Natural 20?
Yeah.
That is glorious to hear. Roll twice as many die.
19 damage.
Okay, a sizable chunk of the trunk flies off. not halfway through, mind you, but it has noticed. Meepo.
Okay, so how close am I to the big trees we were just talking about? I'm trying to, I'm having a really hard time visualizing.
You're about a train length away.
Okay, so that is not near me.
if you stay right where you are, you don't think these trees could attack you unless they got up and walked over to you. But considering the rest of the forest, that's not something that's unimaginable.
Okay.
However, these big trees also seem to be doing the most damage to the party right now.
I'm going to do magic missile again because I can target that one at one of the big trees.
Okay.
And what do I roll? 1d4?
3d4 plus 3.
Okay. So I've now, got...
If you want, you could have Discord roll for you.
Does that mean I have to type numbers?
You would have to type numbers, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to just roll numbers. Okay, I got a 3.
Okay, so that's 4 points.
And a 4.
That's 9 points.
And a 2.
12 points.
Okay.
Beams of light shoot from your fingertips, arc through the air in a strange pattern because this is an anime, apparently, and they can't go in straight lines. And go into
backflips and crap.
And then go into the same tree that Fenix was trying to chop down. Ari's turn.
Okay. We have the two big trees and we have the horde of twig blights running towards us.
There's significantly fewer twig blights and a bit of a path that's been carved out by a rampaging owlbear.
Okay.
Someone's taking care of the trash mobs for you.
Okay. Well, I was going to do something else because I forgot the owlbear wasn't there. I don't want to burn the owlbear. So, all right, well then, the two trees are now focused on Punk, correct? Sorry. Orth.
Yes, and Punk is really unnerved by this.
Yeah.
Because he does not like being touched.
Yeah.
Also, he's just looking at these two trees on the farm, and he's like, why I oughta? The acorn falls out of the tree, hits him on the forehead again.
So happy we have a farm.
I'm going to go with something simple for now, then. Trees probably don't like fire, so we're going to try Firebolt. The roots are coming out of the ground, actually, right?
Yes.
Or the vines or whatever that are using to hold Punk. Neither of each tree is actually touching him, other than pounding him with their tree-like fists.
It doesn't take much to assume that they look more like roots than vines.
Okay.
The roots coming out of the ground are probably connected to these trees, but the connection is underground.
I would like to try to focus the firebolt on the grasping vines or roots to attempt to free Earth.
Okay.
And that is a 17 plus 7 is 24. Where's my D10s? Ooh, 19 fire damage.
Okay. Earth, right now the only thing grappling you is ash, and it sort of just flakes away, and you are no longer grappled.
Yay.
Which is great, because you were about to take damage when it was your turn.
Yeah, I figured if he's being held, it might make it easier for them to hurt him.
Thank you.
But the roots themselves also do damage.
Sure. But they probably give them advantage to attack him, so.
Well, that too. Kargoth, yeah. It's your turn.
I'm within 30 feet
yes.
of the big tree thing. Okay. Rush at it. And I will use my inspiration to get advantage on my first attack roll.
For the record, it's a tree. You're not quite sure if you could miss it.
That's not what I'm hoping for, though.
But it is moving, so it might dodge.
I know what you're trying to do.
Come on. Natural 20. I rolled a 10 and a 20.
I have to adjust this now. Thank you. Okay. Roll me some damage.
Ooh, nice. Okay. 25 points of slashing damage and 4 points of fire damage for my first attack.
The question is, does this take extra? It does. Oh, but apparently it does double damage against buildings. That's good to know, but doesn't help us in this case. However, I would suggest not going into an outhouse to hide from these. There would be a Jurassic Park moment.
Second attack?
Go right ahead.
That would be 23 to hit.
That's a hit. For the record again, it's a tree.
I know.
I know.
And that is...
doing so much more on their attack rolls than they need for this.
12 points of slashing and 3 points of fire.
So 15 total.
Yes.
Alrighty. It is not bloodied, but some of the smaller limbs of this thing are on the ground. Earth.
I would like to use wild shape to become a bear, but he is a brown bear, but he's more kind of gray, and he kind of has some parts that almost look like there's like bones sticking out.
This bear has seen some things.
Yes, again, like the dog, it's recognizable for what it is, but it has kind of a creepy
undead kind of look to it.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Now that we've said brown bear, and I've said it's seen some things, now I'm just thinking of the children's book. Brown bear, what do you see?
The abyss. Oh, no. I don't want to know, man.
I don't recommend it.
All right. Am I able to attack as well, or is that my turn is changing?
Wild shape's a bonus action.
Yeah. So you got your attacks to go.
And brown bear has multi-attack, so you get two attacks.
Yep. That's what I was hoping. So Mr. Needleman. Mr. Needle Tree there is still up.
It is. It hasn't had its turn yet. But also, you do realize that there are two very large trees that have been swinging at you with very large branches.
Yeah. Kill the needle thing, because that's what killed the girl, he thinks. All right. Yeah, he'll just attack the nearest tree to him, and he's just going to swipe at it with his claw.
I don't want to be the one that controls your character, but at the same time, the tree directly behind you did... like 32 points of damage to you in one round.
Yeah, almost one shot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You might want to take that out.
All right. He'll spin at that one and swipe at it with his claws. I have no idea what the bear's statistics are.
I will get that for you.
Give me some die rolls first, though.
Okay. Is it still my normal to hit, or am I using the bear's?
No. So you use the bear's strength modifier. Okay. Plus your proficiency.
Okay.
Your brown bear?
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. I linked it. Brown bear's strength is... So it'd be a plus 4 plus your proficiency of 3. So it's a plus 7.
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad.
Okay. So I'm adding 7 to my roll?
Yes.
All right. A 25 then.
All right.
So for the claw, that's 2d6 plus 4.
Jeez.
And then you've still got your bite as well.
16 damage.
Okie doke. It's bloody.
And bite is a d20 plus 7 again.
Okay. Yeah, let's bite. That sounds good. 26?
It does not taste good.
It is a 1d8 plus 4.
9.
All right. You have 34 whale shape hit points, by the way.
Okay. What does that mean?
You have 34 temporary hit points. Once it drops
I got you.
Drop back to your normal form.
I got you. I'm sorry. Okay.
But that's extra hit points on top of what you already had. So
yes.
You could take that bludgeoning you got last time again.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Oh, I see where I kept those. Okay, in temporary points. All right. So
Druids are overpowered. I love them. They're so much fun.
It is Shepherd's turn.
Still chasing that squirrel?
No, he's running away from the squirrel.
Oh, Shepherd.
They're apparently playing tag.
We have a pair in my house that do that. It drives my dog crazy.
But Ross, the animated armor, hasn't realized they're playing tag, so now he's chasing after Mr. Fluffytail because he doesn't want Mr. Vex to get mad at him. He's having a bad day.
Oh.
Okay, Tree Blight's turns. Plural. All right, so one of them is going to take first a swing at Earth. That is a 2. It's also going to swing at Kargoth. That rolled under my book. That is not a 2. That's a 15.
Barely hits. That's my armor class.
All right, and in the Vend of a Tithe, it's a hit. Time to roll damage. It's a branch attack, so that's 3d6 plus 6.
What type of damage is it?
It is bludgeoning.
I take half because I'm liking.
You're liking it.
Mm-hmm. And we like that, yep.
Oh, no, that doesn't hurt. While you're not wearing heavy armor, you gain plus 1 to AC. My AC is 16 right now.
So it just misses.
It just misses.
Okay.
I just read that.
He's also going to try to grapple the two of you again. Okay. Well, one of you again, one of you for the first time.
All right, so it's acrobatics or athletics check for us, right?
It's a roll to hit, which it has a plus 9 for.
Okay.
And then probably a saving throw.
And then during your turn, you have the option of trying to escape with a DC 15.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, so, it's like the Kraken tentacles. Okay.
Yeah, they auto grab.
So yeah, that's a 17 against Kargoth, and well over 20 for Earth.
That hits.
Yeah.
Focus on the fluffy ones.
Well, it's now the other tree's turn. It's going to try to hit Obame. It hits Obame.
Didn't do nothing.
Remember, Obame ran over to heal you, so he's within range.
No.
And that is 10 points of damage. And it's going to also try to hit Fenix. That's a hit. That's well over 20. That's 13 points of damage to Fenix.
I'm at 23.
And it's going to try to grapple both of you. Obame is grappled. Fenix is not.
Oh, God. I would have been dead.
I rolled a 1 for you. All right, so that's their turns. By the way, Earth, you're fairly certain that the needle creature would have gotten to you by now, but it hasn't. You're kind of distracted, though. It is Obame's turn. He's going to cast Cure Wounds at second level on Fenix. Since the two of you happen to be right next to each other, he can still do that while grappled. It's 2d8 plus 5. So that heals you for 18.
Hey, I'm with Max.
However, that was at the start of his turn. He's going to take damage, the root attack. He can try to escape. He does not. And he's going to take 1d6 plus 6 bludgeoning damage. 9 points of bludgeoning.
9?
Yeah.
You betcha.
And this wounded, he probably still has more hit points than some of you do at max. He's at 34. Fenix, your turn.
Fire breath.
Oh, shall I? You know what? No one whispered to me at all.
It was the voice of Punk.
Yeah. I'm going to use Dragon Breath.
It was the voice of Vex, in all honesty, because he's the one who has said more often than anyone else to burn it to the ground.
Accurate.
Yeah, very just accurate. Like when Mom calls you like someone from England.
Okay, so you are going to have to roll damage, but I need to check something.
We're all going to be in range of it.
No. Well, if he tries to breathe fire on the roots that are grappling people, yes. If he's breathing fire on the trees, no. Fenix, do you have a preference?
No. I'm going to do it on the tree.
Okay. Just throwing it out there. You could breathe fire on the roots. You might be able to free everyone.
But we'd also take damage.
Well, they'd be free and on fire.
I will... And everyone's
they would burn free. As free as the wind blows.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Oh no, Cargo's gonna kill
you. You are actually going to breathe fire on your party?
No.
You're gonna try to breathe fire on the trees.
Yes, I suppose.
Okay,
yeah.
I need to roll Constitution saves for them. The target number based on the description of your ability is 10, and what's their mod? They fail.
All right.
They're gonna take max damage from this. So well, not max, but full damage.
Whatever he rolls.
Yeah.
11.
Okay. Oh, fun fact. When you get to 6th level, you roll 4d6. Yeah, so in one level, it's going to double.
Oh, that's useful.
Okay. Now, you don't see these trees taking extra damage from the fire. They are full of sap, but they're not in a good way. One of them's in more of a good way than the other one. You've been focusing your fire on the one that struck first, for the most part, and that one appears to be almost down. The other one is, except for the fact that it's looking very sickly, it's looking very healthy. Meepo's turn.
Okay, who's still grappled?
I think the two giants and...
Yeah, the two Goliaths.
Obame.
Okay, so she's tried this before. She's going to use Prestidigitation to clean roots off of Mr. Obame, and if she can do more than just him, she'll try that as well.
Okay, so what's going to happen there is he's going to have advantage when he tries to break free, because you are helping him.
Okay, and then is my turn done or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because casting is, you could move around if you wanted to, but you seem to be in a fairly safe place where nothing's trying to get at
right.
you. There were some twig blights that were heading your way, and now they're in a giant owlbear footprint.
Okay, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to ungrapple or help whoever's grappled to ungrapple on their prestidigitation.
Mm-hmm. Ari, your turn.
Okay.
There's a voice.
He's asking or. Providing.
I can finish this so much faster. Use me.
I'm sure you can. No. Ari will then try to... The two giant trees, are they back-to-back, face-to-face?
You don't see faces on them, but they are right next to each other.
Okay. So is Ari in a position to line up a lightning bolt that would hit both of them?
Yes. Now...
I don't want to try to hit party members if I can avoid it.
Traditionally, you don't want to be near a tree that gets struck by lightning?
Exactly. Which is something I'm trying to avoid, if possible.
I think we're all in melee range.
That's why I didn't use lightning bolt.
Yeah. Well, Meepo isn't. She'll be fine.
Yeah, the thing is, lightning bolt's a line as opposed to like fireball, which, yeah, everybody would then be in formation.
Real world physics, it'd be really bad. But you're real right, world but physics, you wouldn't have physics. Someone throwing lightning bolts out of his fingertips.
Yeah, exactly.
So
are they large
I'm
enough?
Allow
like
it.
I could. Okay. Are they large? Basically, I want to try to hit both of them without really hurting the party.
You can angle it for that, yes.
Okay. So if I have to move, I will move to do that. If I'm okay where I'm at, then I will stay put.
You are okay where you're at.
Okay.
This point.
Then we will roll. And the one is more hurt than the other, correct? Or is that we can't tell bloodied versus not bloodied on it?
Well, they're both a bit on fire, but one of them is missing huge chunks out of it. And currently has a bear chewing on it.
Ah, all right. Then I will just roll the damage, and they will have their dexterity saving throw. I don't know how dexterous trees are, but I'm going to guess maybe not very.
They do not have a bonus to their dexterity modifier.
All right. Then their DC is 15.
Make like a tree and leave.
Yeah.
One saves, one does not.
Okay. All right. That's 10, 19, 22... 26, 28. Oh, and I got to roll one more. Sorry. I only rolled 31.
Is that all?
Yeah. 2, 3, 4, 3, 4, 5, 4, 6. 86.
He's being sarcastic. That's a lot of damage. Okay, so this lightning bolt goes through the air, and one of them is a bit more on fire than it used to be. The other one is a lot more on fire than it used to be, and kind of split partway down the middle. Earth, for the record, you're grappled, but you're still chewing on this thing with your bite. Maggots rain down on top of you.
Sweet. Now, it's fire.
Yeah, it's not your turn yet. I'm just saying what's happening after it gets struck by lightning and splits apart.
Okay.
It's almost your turn, because right now it's Kargoth's turn.
Right, okay.
So give me a strength save.
I have advantage on those, because I'm lycan. 21.
You break free, but you also take... And I'm reducing this already for you, because I know you're taking half damage from bludgeoning attacks. Mm-hmm. You take 5 points of damage from this root as you're breaking free.
Okay.
Is that his action to break free?
I'm not going to have it be.
Okay.
That would prolong the combat a bit more, and it's already after 10.
Gotcha.
I would like to swing 2 attacks.
Okay.
He took damage upon breaking free, so there's the balance. All right.
Well, you take damage at the beginning of your turn no matter what.
Right, right.
And you either break through or you don't.
Right.
There's both of them are still up?
Yes.
Okay.
One of them's a lot more up than the other. Sorry?
The one that looks the weakest, I like to swing at.
Okay.
That's a lot. 18 plus 7.
25.
Yeah, that's a hit.
6 points of slashing, 3 points of fire.
It is still up.
7 points of slashing, because I keep forgetting to add that plus one.
It is still up.
Okay, second swing. A lot. 21 to hit.
Okay, and with the pluses that you've already talked about, how do you want to do this?
I want to cut that SOB straight down the middle.
Okay. The split had already started thanks to Arya's lightning bolt. It didn't go all the way down. And you've never really been one to let a task go unfinished. So you help Ari out. And now there's two halves of a tree that are timbering down on either side. And Earth, you're free before your turn starts.
Yay.
Okay. So we still have one tree?
Still have one tree. And it's your turn.
Where's Mr. Needleman?
You don't see him.
All right.
You wore the brown pants.
Yeah. Now, this tree is on fire, and I'm biting it.
Well, the leaves above you, the branches above you are on fire. That lightning bolt was angled upwards.
Yeah, he's not taking any real damage from that. It's just annoying him.
Okay. Yeah, I tend not to bite things that are on fire.
It's a facade.
All right, then he is going to, slash at the tree with his claws. So let's see. That was a.
For the record, My Fellow Americans is a fantastic movie. I can't believe my wife picked it out when we watched it together, but it's a wonderful movie.
Is that the one with Garner and Lemon?
I forget. that's where I got mispronouncing facade from.
11. He's not going to hit with that one. So his, but he's gonna, he gets a second attack, so he's gonna swing with that, and that's an 18.
That's a hit.
A 15 points of damage.
That is significant.
Ah.
Okay. You hear a. And suddenly there are two bear-like creatures, bear-adjacent creatures, attacking this tree at the same time. You, Mr. Brown Bear that's seen some things, and Mr. Hoots.
Roar.
Those are two hits.
Where's a ranger when you need one?
Oh, but if the ranger was with us, it would be like 11 o'clock and he'd be on the second round of combat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Doing a backflip off something first.
Because as soon as you got to the clearing, you would have used all three charges of your bag of tricks.
Mm-hmm. Cargat doesn't have that, so you don't have to worry about that.
When is a ranger like a cop?
So I'm supposed to roll a d10 for this, and the d10 I picked up is the one with the zeros after the numbers, and I'm like, wow, 30 points of damage. No, that's a 3.
Not you the rolled same the percent thing. Dice.
No, I have to roll a d10 for that. It does get a plus 5. And for the damage for the claws, which also hit, that's 16. Shepherd's turn. I'm just going to keep talking about what Shepherd's doing because he's in the initiative order. I don't know how to take him out of it. So at this point, Ross is being chased by Shepherd and Mr. Fluffytail. He doesn't know how this happened. Okay, Tree Blight's turn, because that is what you're fighting. Okay, it is... How about I have that character? That is a 19 against Kargoth. That's going to be 16 points of damage.
Bludgeoning?
Yes, so 8 points of damage. I'm going with the average damage to speed things up a bit.
Okay.
And that is a 21 points of damage. Well, not against you this time.
Oh.
No, that's against Obame. Obame is more than bloodied. And it is going to try to grapple Earth. That's a nat 20.
Ouch.
And it is also going to grapple Fenix with an unnatural 20. But my understanding of this, I could be reading it wrong, is that you don't take damage yet. You're going to take damage at the start of your turn. It is Obame's turn. Does anyone have less than 18 hit points?
Not anymore.
Ari is well above that.
But I took damage this turn, so I need to do a wisdom save on my turn.
Well, he's going to cast Cure Wounds on himself at this point, but he's only going to do it a little. He heals 7 whole points. Fenix.
Yes.
Give me a strength check.
Sure. Oh my. 23.
Okay, so you flex and you are free. You take 9 points of damage in the process.
Then wow.
You also have an attack.
Wait, I have an attack?
Well, it's your turn, so you can attack.
Okay, all right, I'll attack him. That was a 17. Okay, that's 16.
Okay. Ooh.
Oh, no, 26, sorry.
Well, you know what? We've also forgotten something, because you're 5th level. You get 2 attacks per turn, not 1.
Yep, paladins, so you get 2 attacks.
Oh, wait, yeah, I'm a 5th level paladin, yeah.
Yeah, so give me damage for your first attack.
Yeah, 14.
And roll for your second attack.
There's a type of paladin that doesn't really like plant creatures or something.
12.
Fenix is the kind of paladin that doesn't like wagon creatures.
Yeah.
You rolled a 12, you said?
Yes.
Or that was 12 with your modifier.
Oh, sorry. I actually rolled for my attack damage. My actual roll is 28 for a hit.
Okay. Let's just take the 12 to speed things up because that was a damage roll.
Yeah.
Okay. This second tree is beyond bloodied from those 2 hits. Meepo's turn.
Light it up.
So, yeah, I was going to throw a fireball tree. One of those trees. Whichever one is...
You will encompass all of the melee fighters.
Oh. Okay, I don't want to do that then.
What? Yeah. Did Ari teach you Firebolt? Or no?
I don't know. She's got it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I can do Magic Missile again. Direct it.
Firebolt might do more damage, though, depending on your 2d10s.
But is it going to damage the party that's, like...
No, Firebolt.
You can angle it.
Firebolt.
Yeah, Fireball okay. Is a sphere. Firebolt okay. Is a line.
No, she has Firebolt. So that one you direct?
Yeah, that one you would roll a d20.
Right, okay. You roll a d20 to attack with.
Okay, so then I'm going to do that. And there are 2 trees still battling? No, is just that
one
correct?
Tree. No, one.
There's one tree, then that's the one I'm going to hit. So I roll a 20?
And add 6.
And add 6. Okay, yeah. So I get... Rolled 1 plus 6. 7.
Okay. Oh, a 1 is an automatic failure. So
I missed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me a dexterity check.
Dexterity check. Okay. So I roll a 20. And it's rolled a 1 again, actually. And dexterity is plus.
Okay. Well, you hit something.
Hopefully not the owlbear.
Which one?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Earth can take it.
Kargath could probably take it as well, no problem.
Roll damage for Earth. I rolled a die to see who you hit randomly, and it landed on Earth.
Probably a good thing it's him, though, because if the DC for that wisdom check goes up, I'm probably going to be killing one of the players.
Am I rolling something? I'm trying to.
Yeah, you're rolling damage.
Okay, yeah, roll so I'm 2D10. Rolling 2D10. Okay, yep. I think I have 2D10s. Yes. Okay. One is a 7, I think. And the other one, I think, is a 1.
Okay, so yeah. Earth takes 8 points of damage.
Oof.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Your fur is now slightly singed.
It was already kind of matted and gross anyway.
And all things considered, you actually smell a bit better.
Some of the mane is gone. Some of it away. Since he had a rain of maggots on him. So.
Yeah. Burn away the mange.
Exactly.
Now they're roasted maggots. Mm. They're a bit of a delicacy.
Are they organic? Locally sourced?
Depends on where you were when you got the maggots.
No pesticides have been used on them. We can say that.
Dry rubbed with spice.
Hipsters would pay a lot for them. So.
Meepo would probably like those, actually.
We have a delicate chipotle dipping sauce for them. So.
And the odd thing is, the maggots are okay, but the chipotle sauce gives you food poisoning. Historically, just saying.
Yeah.
It's happened a couple times. Ari, please end this thing's misery.
Oh, gladly. We will firebolt. And that is a 14 on the die plus 7 is 21.
That's a hit.
And 2d10 fire damage is 7 and 8 for 15.
I need to get out of the habit of putting the roll to hit in as the damage. Not that the players would mind, mind you. Kargoth, I believe you have a roll or two to do.
I have a wisdom saving throw to do. How much damage did I take again? Was it just 8?
I want to say yes.
DC is 10. And I make 10 on the dot. Rolled 5 on the dice plus 5 to my wisdom save.
Okay.
I was worried I was going to go crazy and kill someone. Okay.
You would not like to rage.
No, I did not go crazy and kill someone.
All work and no play makes Kargoth something something.
I will take 2 swings at the tree. First is 15 on the die plus 7, 22 to hit.
That's a hit.
That is 14 slashing, 3 fire.
So 17 total.
Mm-hmm.
Next up.
Second strike is 13 plus 7, so 20.
That's a hit.
And you better. That's 12 on the dice plus 5 is 17 slashing and 2 fire.
So 19 total.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't obvious. It does not take extra damage. From. Mm-hmm. All right. Earth, you are fairly certain that you will be able to score a killing blow on this thing if you have the opportunity to hit it.
I will do so. So he wants to just going to just swat at it again with his claws. 14.
D20 plus 7.
Oh, 14? Okay.
Wait, what?
Well, I rolled a D20 plus 5, but it's supposed to be 7 for claws?
Yes, because you add the website's only adding the bear's proficiency, which is a level 1. You're adding your proficiency because you're a wild shape.
Oh.
So it's 4 plus 3, which is a 7.
Okay. Well, when I roll it again, it's 21 now to hit.
That's a hit.
All right. So, and damage, 15 points of damage.
How do you want to do this?
Basically, he's going to swat his claw, like, basically through, like, he's just going to, like, his claw is just going to go through the base of the tree.
Okay. Now, when it had full hit points, this would have been an impossible feat for you, even as large a creature as you are. But it has taken so much damage from all of these attacks, and it's currently on fire a little bit, that it's been weakened enough that you just smash right through the trunk with your claws. And it stays upright for a little bit, Like after your claw goes through, it falls down 6 inches, and then it just sort of teeters and then falls over to the side and lays still.
He's gonna change out of bear form.
Is there anything else around us? No. And then I also drop lycanform.
Are the twig blights now eradicated thanks to the efforts of the owlbear?
Yeah.
Yes, and the owlbear is hooting a victory cry.
He's a happy owlbear.
And standing on top of the tree.
Why am I picturing Ewoks?
and you're hearing the good Ewok song, not the one that they added.
The original one.
See, I only remember the original one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
The owlbear pulls out a bunch of skulls and starts hitting them like a percussion instrument.
Yep. I know all about that.
Burn this wretched grove.
The grove is currently on fire, so yes, you're doing a good job of that.
Was Anne on my shoulder the whole time?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is the grove tainted in some way?
Would I be able to make a roll to tell that? Nature, perhaps? Or Arcana, maybe?
I would say Arcana.
Okay. 16?
Oh, yeah. there was something really bad here. The voice in Ari's head wasn't lying.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, I wanted to lead him that way. Ari couldn't probably make this check, but I wanted to lead him that way. All right. Go ahead.
I think we should just burn the place.
Well, is there a way we can cleanse it?
That's not my fire.
I have a wand that could perhaps produce some fire.
5 miles. It's all people.
What was that?
I can do a lightning bolt, and that would probably be fire or something.
No, Ari's got a wand that will.
Oh, okay. Light up.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Or could we just make a fire using our camping equipment?
Can I just walk up to Can I just walk up to something that is clearly flammable and just rub my flaming axe on it?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I forgot his flaming axe.
Considering both trees are currently on fire, if you want to walk up to something that's flammable, you might burn yourself.
There's other trees around, though.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
They're at the edge of the clearing, yes.
We step back a bit, and Ari launches a charge from his wand.
Yeah. just burn this place.
The corruption was centered around these two trees in the middle of this clearing. Everything else branched out from that.
Burn the trees. They're on fire already, but you might as well make it count.
Yeah. I can do that. Everybody, if we all back away.
Yeah.
I pick up Anne's corpse, start walking towards the edge of the clearing.
And I'm moving away from the trees that are on fire.
I'm move away as well.
I don't think I was near them anyway, but
me too.
Earth, you find the needle blight that you were targeting earlier.
Yeah,
parts of it.
Good.
Owlbear.
He would actually like to examine it.
Okay.
If you want to do that in the next story, I know we probably got to wrap up.
Yeah, I was thinking this fireball would be the last thing we do. I was thinking we'd wrap up before this, but you are gung ho for cleansing everything, so I'm okay with this.
Ari's okay with nuking a site from orbit, to be sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll for anything. How many charges are you going to use, though?
Just one. I figure that's plenty. I mean, it's a 20-foot radius blast, so it's going to cover a 40 by 40-foot cube.
Okay.
Wherever the trees were primarily standing, that's where he would center it.
The clearing is a little bit more than a 30-foot radius. So a fireball centered in the middle will not hit the stuff on the outer edges.
But if he centers it, that's really where the corruption was.
Yeah, so exactly.
He's fine with that.
Yeah. If the trees were still animated in some way, shape, or form, there'd be some rolling going on, but otherwise they're just dead wood. So they go up in flames.
You hear
the tiny little cries of maggots going, no, no, what a world, what a world.
I would like Earth to then examine or check it out again to make sure the corruption has been purged.
Okay. Another roll here. 19.
Okay. You're not sure this place will ever return to what it used to be, but the corruption, like the source of the corruption isn't here anymore. So like this how it's... If you step into mud, you are going to push it down and leave a depression. You remove your foot, nothing is pushing that down anymore.
Right.
The pressure on this area is gone.
Okay.
The damage is done, but
Yeah. But we still don't know what kind of taint it was coming from. Was it like demonic, or it was just death in general, or
the amulet is insisting to Ari that it was demonic in nature.
Okay.
Not that the trees themselves were demonic, but something
Something infested them.
Something demonic here was killed.
Right. And yeah, he insinuated that earlier because he talked about how he didn't even like it.
Yeah. So I figured it was something anti whatever he is. So
yeah. Okay. Well, it could be diabolic versus demonic because it depends on what he really is. Demons and devils often don't get along, despite their penchant for trying to attack humans.
Yeah. Okay.
So he wouldn't mention any part of it other than just ask you if the corruption is gone from this area. And if you tell him that, it's the damage is done, but it's otherwise been removed, that's good enough for Ari.
Yeah. And that'll have to just do for everything. So. All right.
Okay. And we'll worry about how this whole scenario is going to end up with little orphan Annie.
Oh, God, I just realized that now.
No, because her name is Anne, not Annie.
Anne, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
I didn't decide to name her Anne because of Little Orphan Annie. I just made the connection. Believe me, I named her after somebody else.
Okay.
But we'll worry about that next week.
Okay.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.